Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Get some Hey Man Ale in your life, guys. Mike Bell, it is a big weekend because this is one of those weekends where we expect our team to handle business. And I want you to think about this. It's been very rare, okay, over the last few years where we went into a weekend and you said, we expect our team to handle business. There was a lot of hoping, a lot of wishing, a lot of wishing with Desmond Ridder that he would do the right things and hopefully he'd be good. I'm expecting us to go into Carolina and win. And I hope you are too. And Mike, part of this has to do with not only the way that we played in the overtime win, but it also has to do with, I think right now, we're just a better team, and we have to go prove that.
Right. You've been on this all week. Let's have the complete game. Let's look, if it's coming down to the final possession against Carolina, then there's been a lot of mistakes made by the Falcons. Let's keep it real. I mean, this is a team that should go up there. If we want to sort of flex our muscles up, it's funny. I was listening to Steakhouse today, and they had Jason LaConfora on Steakhouse. What do you think about the Falcons? And LaConfora is like from a national perspective, they're there. Well, what do you mean you're there? We feel we're as good as anybody in the NFC, certainly, if not the entire league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this would be one that if you go out there four quarters, you know, beat them by 10 points or more, then you say, okay, Falcons really got it cooking. And they're doing what they should do against a lesser opponent.
I agree. And Jason and I, by the way, he's on the podcast with me. We go back and forth on this. I don't know if he's completely sold on Cousins. Right. That's part of this. So we've gone back and forth. Podcast is called In the Huddle. You can check it out. Baldy's on there as well. But the bottom line is, yes, Mike, we are content. I know you and I are watching. The rest of Falcon Nation is watching. We feel like this team can be a real contender. And, right. You know, part of that is beating lesser teams. With that said, one of the things that's interesting, and, you know, listen, I'm not going to tell you Nostradamus was at work here. I just was paying attention in camp to Darnell Mooney and the interaction with Kirk Cousins. And when they were working out and doing things and running routes and all this, there was just a lot going on. And then that has transpired and carried over into the season. So are they building something special? And it's funny because Mooney came out this week and we played the soundbite. He said, if I'm messing up, Kirk gets after you. I want the same energy. It's nothing personal. He's just trying to win games. So, Mike, as we head into this game, Zach Robinson, what is he going to do and how does he call this game? Because let's be honest, no Derrick Brown in the middle. Don't we run the football?
Yeah, man. Derrick Brown is kind of up there. I mean, there's a bunch of guys who've been our nemesis over the years in the NFC South. And we talked about, you know, there's been certain players that just get in the backfield and just dominate. And Derrick Brown has been one of those guys. And I think, you know, if you want to look at where they are, they're injured in the front, in the middle, an offensive line at center. They got another tackle that's out. And you just talked about one of the big guys who's been a space grabber and just a disruptor against us. And you've got a veteran quarterback. We're 3-2 if we, you know, right now, same thing last year, Carl. We're 3-2. But it's different. And it's funny. I just, real quick sidebar, I got another neighbor. I swear, we're going to have to get like some positive gas and carpet bomb my neighborhood. Another guy. Yeah, you really buy this? Yes.
Of course.
I mean, guys, if there was a bunch of teams in the NFC that were all 6-0 or something, I'd say, or a 5-0, we are certainly in the mix. And I think we still haven't hit everything which we can hit in stride to attain what we want to do on both sides of the ball. Matthew Judon today, D-Led asked him about the pass rush. He agreed. They're not doing enough work. They got to get that tightened up.
Yeah, I did an interview in Charlotte, Mike, and they asked about Judon. They said, what do you guys think about Judon? What do we think about him? I think he's making plays. I don't think anybody on this team is dominating sacks. If you're expecting Judon to be a double-digit sack guy, I still do, Mike. Season is long. If you're telling me we can't get to 10 sacks with Matthew Judon, then he either is not the player we thought, or this team defensively is going to have a lot of problems moving forward. I think we'll get there. It may be a slow process, but individually, what do you think about Judon so far, four or five games?
I got to be honest. I love we interviewed him. Love the guy's attitude and, you know, what he said about how the Falcons don't owe him anything. And, you know, his argument was with the Patriots. Maybe the Patriots were right. But I've always said Judon comes in here, it's supposed to elevate the game of Arnold Ebiketie.
Mm.
And it hasn't yet. Ebiketie's got no sacks. And we've talked about, look, Lorenzo Carter is what he is. You know, he looks the part, but unfortunately the numbers are just not there. So if there's something Jimmy Lake has to tweak, as Jimmy Lake also gets more familiar with these guys, the way Zach Robinson has on offense, but still, that seems like a cop-out. You got some dudes, put them in position to make plays. Otherwise, try to make a trade at the deadline for another dude.
We expect to go to Carolina and win, and I hope you do too. Zach Robinson was asked on Andy and Randy what challenges the Panthers present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, and again, this is just simplistic, right? Let's go out and try to run the ball. Give it to Algier. Give it to Bijan. I don't know if they're going to limit his carries, Mike. I know he's been limited all week in practice. We'll see how that shakes out. But force them to do what we're going to have to do. Stop the run. And if they're not able to do that with all these injuries they have up front on defense, then that's a problem. And I say we just run it down their throat. There's no reason to make this difficult.
Nope. Everything we thought we'd see early on, because maybe some limitations of Kirking, and that's in the rearview now. Everybody kind of agrees. Zach Robinson said it. You know, that Steeler game feels like it was a year ago. You know, so now you're right. Let's run the football down their throat, set up the play action, everybody involved, maintain the Pitt's momentum. Let's go. And they can't, if that's all hitting and we're scoring 30 points, Carolina can't match that.
No, I don't think they can keep up either. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Speaking of Pitts, Robinson, that's Zach Robinson, our OC, was talking about Pitts' production last week.
There was really nothing different in the game plan. Whether he was, you know, the primary or catching a backside route, the faster that he can play, the more decisive he can play, the more detailed he can play, he's going to get the ball within the flow of the offense. I thought that was a great illustration the other night.
Now, I don't expect Zach Robinson to come out and say, hell yeah, we were trying to get him the ball. Because then you're putting, you know, the spotlight on something that has been obvious with everybody, which is you haven't gotten him the ball. So he said the right things there. Kyle, whatever it is that we asked him earlier the week, what is it that you did? Was there anything different? He said, no, not really. I think everybody's playing this same card, Mike. No, we didn't really do anything different. Well, then how the hell did I guy throw for 500 yards?
Right.
What was going on?
Now, again, we've talked about the dynamic of the defense and the Bucs. You know, they said, look, we're going to try to take away some of the things you want to do. See, that's the thing. How many times in the last 6 years, if a team takes away something, we don't have a plan B. Well, you took away. Well, Ritter, do Mariota, do.
There's no gambling at the club.
We sound like Ted Knight over a 4 foot putt. So that's where it went. Now we've got a guy who says, I got it. Get on my back. Let's go. Zip, zip, zip. We won the game.
We did. What about the pass rush? I want you to hear Grady as we talk about our Falcons. You guys can hit us up. Find us at Mike Bell, ATL. That's on Twitter, not X. Mm-hmm. And I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, of course, follow the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. And always follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, Bryant McFadden, co-host of All Things Covered. That's the podcast. He's also an NFL analyst, is going to join us. We'll break down the games and talk about this one as well. Here's Grady talking about having to be better at getting to the QB.
I think it all works together. I think it all works together from coverage to pressure from us up front, from the calls working together and just complimenting each other. And we're doing a good job of, you know, to the quarterback getting the ball out and we stop them, you know, get off the field, stuff like that. But we got to be more aware on, like, say, if it's first and 10 or second and 8, you know, not just always knowing if it's a pass situation, you know, what you got to convert faster. And, you know, we got to be better. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, that's the reality of it. There ain't no excuses in then. But I can reassure you that we're doing the things, enough self-scout to be able to be more productive in that area. And nobody wants it more than the men in this building, and coaches and players included. So I'm excited for that to, you know, to come out.
If we do not get multiple sacks this weekend, and I mean more than two, because I think this is the week. Their offensive line is banged up, okay? And they do not have a bunch of dynamic wide receivers. The bottom line is, Mike, this is the week we should be collecting. And if we don't, then after this week, we might have to look in the mirror and say, we might not have those guys.
And that's where, you know, it's not exactly like a big laundry list of dudes you could go pick up. I mean, everybody's alive in the playoffs. No one's. It's not like baseball where you can really go pick somebody up.
Hassan Reddick?
But you got to pay him. I mean, look, as you always say, there's a will, there's a way, and there's always some way to move some money around. But then you kind of find yourself in that, you know, that situation we just got out of, where you got big money on guys that are maybe past their prime. Not going to name names, Grady. But if the contract, we're talking 3 years from now, and you're still paying somebody. So what do you do to get Hassan Reddick? Do you feel maybe there's a point before the trade deadline where the team feels we are special? And we think, you know, we're doing things in the right way.
Yeah.
But that's an area that needs beefing up. Then are you willing to come off, like, because the Jets are going to want the general manager's trying to save his job. They're going to want second round picks. They're going to want a bunch of stuff, you know, to get that done.
Absolutely.
Don't you think, Chris? Chris is a Jets fan. Real quick, I know we got to catch a break, but Jets are going to want a king's ransom to try to save some face, or maybe they don't, just get Reddick off the books.
Here's the deal with Reddick, though, for me, Mike, and I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but this may have happened over the last few days. The folks that represent him don't represent him anymore.
Yeah, he realized he kind of misstepped with it, you think?
Or? Well, no. I feel like, Mike, they're trying to advise him, and he is not listening.
Or the other way, where he goes, no, blank you.
Yes, okay, got yes, it. Yes. I'm talking about his representation.
Like, right, I thought maybe you're not getting traction with this deal. No, now he's sticking to his guns.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but here's the only reason why anybody steps away from an agent or an agency. You don't see eye to eye. At the end of the day, you're all going to make money. It's not that. But if they're trying to advise him, hey, this is not in your best interest to continue to be not with the team, at least show up. Let's try to work out another trade or something. And he's like, no, I don't want to go. Maybe that is not something you want in your building. I do not know. But from a pass rush standpoint, it's something that anybody in the NFL would want. Chris, I'll let you respond when we come back. I just wanted to I don't know if people know that. But that's another part of this story with Hassan Reddick now where you're like, okay. Who are you talking to?
Yeah, I mean, if he has the same attitude where he just wants to get the hell out of the Jets the way that, let's be honest, we got Judon down here from the Patriots, that would be interesting. Not sure that's the case.
All right, guys, coming up, we got plenty more to get to. It's Dukes and Bell Friday. Brian McFadden's going to stop by. We'll get some headlines in here as well. We got at least an entertaining Thursday night game last night, and the baseball playoffs continue to be a lot of fun. We'll get to all of that in about 20 minutes. When we come back, Brian McFadden next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday, everybody. Mike, I've got an issue I've got to discuss with you.
Okay.
A little bit later on in the show. I mean, I know she's going to hear this. I got invited to a wedding, and I totally forgot.
Oh, snap.
Guess when the wedding is? Tomorrow. You know what tomorrow is?
Oklahoma, Texas.
Are you kidding me?
Well, anybody that does fall weddings is incredibly selfish. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'll just say it because I know you're thinking it.
Thank you, Mike.
It's incredibly inconsiderate.
You know what? Be the little devil on my shoulder, will
it's
you?
It's incredibly inconsiderate to have fall weddings, unless, you know, again, if the majority of your friends are, let's say, dog fans. Okay, you do it in a bye week.
Yes.
But other than that, I mean, it's just rude. It's mean.
And it's Michelle's friend.
Come
so on. She said, apparently, she got a message from her saying, oh, I totally forgot. You forgot! So she's like, I think we'll have the games on. You think? Talk more about this.
Now you're a Geico. No, is it Allstate? I get all the insurance commercials
it's
confused.
True.
Now you're the guy that's going to be watching a game and go, is there any reason why these two should not be wed? No!
Or is it rude?
Because it's a Texas interception or something.
Is it rude that I'm going to have this game on my phone? I mean, hell, dogs play at 4 tomorrow. Are you kidding?
Right. Oh, right. That's rough.
All right. More on this coming up. Brian McFadden joins us. B-Mac, it's always good to talk with you. Co-host of All Things Covered. That is a great podcast. He's also an NFL analyst and a two-time Super Bowl champion. I want to start with the Falcons, obviously, because to me, this is a let's eat week. I mean, let's pad our stats. Let's go beat up on the Carolina Panthers, one of the worst teams in the league. But, B, I've been saying all week, we can't get caught sleeping. We're coming off of this emotional win. I need to see how this team plays after having some success.
No question. And that's why I think, guys, this is the most important game in the first quarter for the Falcons, based on what they've done so far this season. Because you look at what they've done the last two ball games, you know, played against divisional foes, very, very close games, finding a way to win, both being at home. Now you're undefeated in your division. And to your point, you're playing against the worst team, not just in your division, in the National Football League, in the Carolina Panthers. They're dealing with a lot of injuries on both sides of the football field. They have so many uncertainties within their team. They don't have anything going on positive right now. So you don't want to come out and be flat if you're Atlanta. You don't want to come out and make this thing a four-quarter ball game when there shouldn't be any rhyme or reason this should be a tight game in the fourth quarter. Take care of your business. Don't play around with your food. Go ahead and have a cruise control-like setting in the fourth quarter and get ready for the meat and potatoes within your schedule, because if you look at what the Falcons have moving forward outside of Sunday, you got Seattle, you got Tampa, you got Dallas, you got New Orleans, and you got Denver, right? And there's a lot at stake when you look at that stretch of ball games coming for the Falcons. So you need to take care of your business easily against Carolina.
The thing, B, is we talked about Bijan Robinson, and basically the Bucs took away the run game. But we want to see Bijan, you know, get in the end zone, the red zone, build off the Pitts momentum from last week, which is great to see. You know, we've been bellyaching with you about Pitts for, like, seems like all offseason, and now can they continue to show that, hey, this is what the Falcons offense looks like week in, week out?
Yeah, I think most importantly, we got to exercise patience with the running game. You know, if you look at the entire mindset offensively, everything has been slow when you talk about the progression. The first few ball games, Kirk Cousins did not look like he's looked over the last few weeks. And the same can be said for the entire offense. Now, when it comes to Bijan, I think patience is something we need to exercise, because as he's continued to ramp up in this offense, you know, get fully acclimated to this offense. Remember, guys, this is Bijan's second year in the National Football League, and this is his second offense he has to learn. I mean, so that's a lot in detail for a young player who's been brought to an organization to deliver big-time goods. So I think for us, when you look at Atlanta, the silver lining is offensively is improving. You're winning ball games, and you're able to do so without your best playmaker offensively being a featured guy in the offense. So just imagine how good this offense will be when Bijan finally gets things rolling in the running game.
It is Brian McFadden, guys, NFL analyst here on Dukes and Bell. We're talking about all the games coming up. B, how about them Cowboys? Okay, I'm sorry. I had to say it.
That's what we're doing?
I'm sorry. Steelers, Raiders. Here's my thing. We have found out that Russ is going to be active for this game. Like, he's been on the sideline. And I asked Mike, I said, did everybody see him run into the game last week and then run out as they put the third string guy in there?
I'm ready.
I mean, what is the deal? And it's going to be Justin Fields again this weekend. But, you know, coming off that Cowboys loss, I don't know, man. I'm not sure what to believe with the Steelers offense right now.
Well, first and foremost, guys, I've never seen a guy who is inactive actually dressed. That's the first for me.
It's like Jameis a few years ago.
What are you doing? You're suspended.
You know, come on, like, help me. Did I miss something? Because when I played the game, when you were inactive, you were in street clothes.
Right.
You never were dressed fully in full pads. That's mind-blowing for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a new rule that you guys heard of. I don't know, but I'm like, yo, I never heard of that before. I thought you couldn't dress if you were not active. But the issue with the Steelers offense, man, is boring.
It is.
It's very, very boring, man. It's boring to watch. And that loss last week to Dallas is inexcusable. You cannot lose to the Dallas Cowboys without D-Law and Michael Parsons. You cannot lose to the Dallas Cowboys when the defense for the Steelers forced three turnovers, two in which happened in the red zone, and they blocked the field goal, and you still lost.
Right.
You still lost. So let's look at it like this. The last two losses for the Steelers happened against the Colts, happened against the Cowboys. Two teams in which, as we see it in five games of play, they're not very, very good. Let's keep it real. The Colts are not very, very good, and the Cowboys are not very good either at this point. You cannot afford to lose your third straight, and it happened to the hands of Aiden O'Connell and the Las Vegas Raiders. That cannot happen. So I don't know exactly what the mindset is. Number one, Justin Fields will be a starting quarterback. Justin Fields, in my opinion, being healthy, will play the entire ball game. The reason why I say that is because you talked about Russell. It seemed like every day he kind of ramped up and got more opportunities in practice, but they're not potentially trying to put Russell in unless something health-wise happened. But what happens, guys, if they lose to the Las Vegas Raiders? What happens then? Yeah. And what happens if they lose and the offense look the same like they looked this past Sunday against Dallas?
Well, B,
that's the big question mark for me.
Couple of things. You know, started out with Arthur Smith. We're familiar with offenses looking uncompelling. We dealt with it here for almost three full years. The other thing is, it's like I thought Fields needed to make a play. I thought there was a play. The Cowboys, as you said, everything you just said is accurate. You just needed the Steelers to make one or two plays down the stretch, and they had it. And then you throw in, we're familiar with this in Pittsburgh, a disgruntled wide receiver. Now, I don't know if you saw some of the video, but, I mean, to me, Pickens is just walking around jogging. You know, I mean, you can't, you know, be complaining if you're not putting the work in.
Man, of course, you guys know, being Georgia Bulldogs, George Pickens is a very, very emotional guy, and sometimes he can't contain his emotions. Super talented, athletically gifted, but sometimes he can't contain his emotions. And for George, it's like, here we go again. Shouts out to DMX, right? The same issues that surfaced last year for their offense, the inability to throw the football down the field, kind of surfacing again. So George is like, come on, yo, here we go again. I'm not getting the ball, and we're not moving the ball, and we're not scoring points. So I kind of understand his frustrations, but now I understand you can't do it. You can't show it all the time. That's the thing, because George wants to win, and he wants to play a part in helping the offense win. George is the best playmaker we have on our offense. He's not getting any targets at all. He's not getting any targets at all. So how do you expect to be successful when you're not trying to get the football to your best playmaker? Let's look at it like this. Justin Jefferson gets doubled every time he's on the football field in the midst of a four-quarter ball game. He still get targets. CeeDee Lamb still get targets. A.J. Brown, when he's healthy, he still get targets. Tyreek Hill gets doubled. Still get targets.
Right.
You still, those guys find a way to get their playmakers involved. We can't. We don't. So, I mean, he's emotional, and I understand, but yet you can't show it all the time, GP.
Great point. Bengals are done, right? They're finished. They're done. They're kaput. 1-4. Come on, man. They're finished.
Wait. I'm not going to say they disco dead just yet.
Okay.
They ain't all the way disco dead.
Okay.
They're kind of like dead, like Weekend at Barney's. You remember that movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
they still moving around a little bit. And if you look at the Bengals, I know they have the Giants this weekend. They have some winnable games moving forward, to your point being 1-4. So the one bright spot for the Bengals is that Joe Burrow is putting up MVP-like numbers.
He is. 12. By the way, 12 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. To your point, B, go ahead. He's putting up great numbers.
Defense is banged up.
Yeah, so that's the bright spot for them. He is finally going. They're healthy, and the offense is looking like they're going to have to hold it down for the entire team because their defense has been sad. But when you look at their division, I mean, Baltimore's thriving. We just talked about the concerns with Pittsburgh. The window is open in the division. Because think about this, guys. I just put up their schedule. They have the Giants, Cleveland, Philly, the Raiders, Baltimore Chargers. Technically, that was supposed to be a win for them. So you look at the next six games, I mean, you see two teams that are legit competitors, and those two teams would be Philly and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Right. So if they can kind of turn everything around in this next 6-game stretch, they will be in that conversation when you're talking about trying to get in one of them top 7 seeds in the playoffs, in my opinion.
It's our man Brian McFadden, 2-time Super Bowl winner here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So they fire Salah. The defense isn't the problem. They finally get a new coach in there, Ulbrich, as an interim, and he moves out Hackett, who everyone thinks is a stooge. They got the worst rushing attack, and they got Breece Hall. What do you make of this Jets soap opera?
You talk about soap opera. Growing up, when I used to have to watch TV with my grandma, she controlled the TV. We used to watch The Young and the Restless every day. Oh, my goodness. Every day, I started learning the characters.
Victor
that
Newman.
Was one of the best soap operas back in the day, right?
It was.
Y'all remember The Young and the Restless?
Oh, yes. It was great. Yep. Loved it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, with Victor and the crew, Victor and Vicky. I still remember the names now. That's what we're watching with the New York Jets. It's the best soap opera in the National Football League. Number one. They prematurely fired their coach for no reason. In 5 games, Robert Saleh got fired. 2-3. To your point, outside of week 1 against the San Francisco 49ers, the defense has been balling. Even a week ago, yes, they lost, but remember, the defense only gave up 13 points, if I'm not mistaken, because they got a pick 6 that was returned. So you fired Robert Saleh, and they're saying rumors were coming from the Jets that he was thinking about making a move offensively anyway with Nathaniel Hackett. You fire him, you bring up Jeff Orbridge, who's the DC. He ends up demoting Nathaniel Hackett, the same thing that Robert Saleh was going to do. So how did you get better? Mm-hmm. How did you get better? Number one, the issue for the Jets has been the offense. The issue for the Jets has been Aaron Rodgers.
In
5 games,
they
are averaging the same amount of points they averaged a year ago with Zach Wilson, 18. Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers' numbers in 5 games look almost identical. Identical. So it's almost like Robert was the scapegoat for the issues. And then the last thing I'll say about the Jets, if you win Monday, you're top of your division.
Right.
Like, think about that. If you win Monday, out of everything that has been going wrong offensively more so than anything, you're sitting on top of your division, and that is a winnable division.
It is. Buffalo's banged up as well. Josh Allen's coming off of a terrible game, one of his worst games ever.
Tua, he's still out, you know. We don't know when he's coming back. And the Patriots are just waiting for the draft in 2025.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing, New York?
Yeah, they just changed quarterbacks, too. Drake May's going to start against the Texans. B, we got to run, man. Great stuff as always. Check out the podcast, All Things Covered. Patrick Peterson's on there with him, and you get it. Two corners talking football,
hey,
man.
Hey,
yeah, man.
Hey, Carl, make sure you enjoy the wedding tomorrow.
Come on, man. Why you had to, you just pushing it. Appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
Who gets married during the fall?
Like, you tell me.
I said it, man.
You tell me, and I made the commitment. Yeah, babe, I'll go. Sure. When is it? Oh, it's not until October.
Is it a good friend of your wife's?
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? Mike, you don't look at the schedule every week. I mean, right. You're just like, oh, it's calendar.
You get to the meeting. So is it a church, or is it going to be like at a...
No, it's actually in town here, okay. And at a big brewery or something. I don't even know all the details.
They got Wi-Fi, bro.
Well, don't start. Come on, man. You're making this out to be worse than I'm imagining. All right, B, we got to go, man. Appreciate you, yes, except for that last comment. It's Dukes and Bell. We're coming back. We got some headlines to get to, including what happened last night. Mike and I were talking about Geno. Listen, Brock Purdy is way better than I think everybody's giving him credit for.
Okay.
We're going to talk about it as part of our headlines coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Talking a lot about our Falcons Sunday. You can listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And as a matter of fact, we are your home for the NFL, guys. So throughout the course of the season, you're listening to all the NFL games. Last night we had a big Thursday night game, Mike. I think it was 4.5. I think that's what we talked about, Seattle.
And I
was like, I thought they would cover that. And, well, bottom line is, Seattle couldn't get stops late. And the 49ers, man, give Kyle Shanahan credit. They're banged up. I think they got another running back hurt last night. But Brock Purdy, Mike, playing flawless.
Yep. I know you and I debated what he was, and I think you were kind of like the year that he got injured, couldn't play in the NFC Championship. You still weren't sold.
I was not.
And he has certainly established himself as a guy, again, without Christian McCaffrey, you can't argue. 3 touchdowns, 18 to 28 for 255. It was pretty funny because you're like, literally, Shanahan can plug anybody in. They need to get a couple of first downs to salt the game away. And then Isaac Garendo
comes in,
breaks one off, and yeah. You're like, whoa, 76-yard run. Then he slides to a stop, and then they later get the touchdown. But it's just – and Jusic got the score, by the way. Nice girlfriend. It's just – it's amazing how they just can make that some of the parts thing work for San Fran. They lost another kicker last night. You see that?
Yeah, I had their first kicker on my fantasy team, and I actually am holding on to him, but I'm like, I'm probably going to have to drop him. To your point, they're just plugging and playing.
When you got that much of a system, but to your point, you've got to have a quarterback that can make it all work. And then, you know, we talked about Geno Smith. I mean, usually Geno waits until the playoffs to kind of put this one on tape.
Mm.
Not one of his best efforts. And I can tell you from personal experience, DK Metcalf is having a meh year. He's killing a lot of fantasy teams right now. Another weak performance.
Yeah, that got the week started. Obviously, a full slate of games coming up this Sunday and then Monday night as well. But last night, I look at Seattle, and part of it is, Mike, you know, their new coordinator was at Washington.
Right.
Matter of fact, he was Michael Penix's coordinator. And he's trying to do what they did at Washington, which is throw the ball around, which is why you're seeing Geno throw it as much as he is right now.
Remember, Ryan Grubb was in Tuscaloosa, and then Seattle called him back home.
Correct. So I don't necessarily – and I said I thought they needed to run the ball more, but they couldn't run the ball either. So either way, but I'm just telling you right now, the point at all of this is Brock Purdy is pretty damn good. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Lamar. He's not Josh Allen. But he's pretty damn
steady
good.
Steady Eddie. Steady Eddie.
He is. And Mike, because of that, you can win like that in that offense. We know it. And he's probably going to get paid. Now, is he going to get $60 million? No. But he's probably going to get a bigger deal than I think people expect.
I would love to see us run for 228 yards. I mean, they ran for 228 yards, and you just mentioned Seattle ran for 52 on 20 carries and couldn't get any traction.
Could not. Big O is here. He is our engineer behind the glass. Of course, Turtle is our executive producer. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's hit some headlines. Well, Kittle caught a couple of touchdowns, didn't he? Let's hear the first one. Kittle, man, we talked about it. These tight ends, Kyle Pitts, these tight ends, man, making a difference in these games.
Three receivers to the right of the line. Single wide left. Now Jennings motioning. Right to left and back to the right. Shotgun snap to Purdy. Purdy pats the football. Throws to the right side for the end zone. Oh. It's caught by George Kittle. And he drags his toe across the line for the touchdown. George Kittle.
It was a pretty catch. Meanwhile, Purdy was asked afterwards on the touchdowns to Kittle. He caught one. That one was in the third quarter. Then one in the fourth quarter that made it 29-17. Here's Purdy.
Comes down to that component of trust, man. That's both of them. Both touchdowns were just a trust factor. So something that we've continued to grow at, you know, throughout the offseason and throughout the games that we've played together. And then tonight it showed really well. So very proud of them.
Isn't that interesting? Didn't we hear this around here?
Yep.
With our quarterback and trust?
Yes.
I mean, I'm just saying, we heard Kirk Cousins and people talking about his trust with Darnell Mooney, which is why they are connecting. Right. What about the trust with Kyle Pitts? Do you think it's there?
I think that, we heard that soundbite from Zach Robinson about, you know, working on the details. Okay, that's that code for he's got to, what does he got to do better? We don't know. But there's some things he's got to work on. But he was everything we expect him to be when he was a fourth overall pick. You saw it on Thursday night. Hopefully they do build off that, because you're right. I mean, there's something to be said for the chemistry and making those connections. And he doesn't just happen overnight. Doesn't happen for the offensive coordinator. Doesn't happen for the new quarterback. But we're seeing it. That's why you and I expect big things this week against Carolina. One last note on the game last night. Did you see the blown replay on the punt?
I did not.
Ball hits the Seattle return man. It hits his finger. Refs don't catch it. And literally, Carl, the NFL apparently is too cheap to have Amazon, because Amazon TV had a replay that apparently the NFL league office didn't have the video angle. So they could, the call was upheld, the wrong call. The Seahawks maintained possession. Shanahan was losing his mind. Al Michaels and Herb Street were losing their mind. It's an embarrassing look for the NFL, but you at home have a view that the officials don't have a view of.
That's shameful. And I don't even know how that happens when you have the rights. Right, they have your rights to all of your games, and you should have access to anything that you want.
Maybe they don't. You know, maybe the guy at the replay office in Secaucus, it's like me. He has to go in the great room because that's the smart TV. I don't know.
And turn it on and work through the.
Either way, oh damn! You know what it was? The NFL couldn't remember their password.
Well, I was going to say work through the login. Geno last night, two interceptions. Real quick, here's Mike McDonald. That's the Seattle head coach talking about he'll bounce back.
At the end of the day, we put ourselves in position after being in a massive hole. If we got a stop to go down and score, Geno's playing really good football for us. I know he threw the two picks, but we got faith in Geno. I mean, he's gonna bounce back. Thought he played a good football game.
We will see. The other big story, we talked to Brian McFadden about it. The Jets, everybody's wondering what they're going to look like against the Bills. Jeff Ulbrich talking about why he made the decision with Hackett to be demoted.
This is more a byproduct of a different take on things. I'm not saying it's a better or worse take on things by any means, but just a different take on things, a fresh approach. So ultimately, Todd will have the full say on the game plan and ultimately the plays that are called within the game.
So what is Hackett doing?
Literally getting coffee. I mean, he's in the room, but he's playing, I don't know, brick breaker. I don't know what he's doing, Carl.
Good game.
Solitaire, perhaps? No, because according to the New York Post article, he's not involved in the game. He's helping, but he's not drawing up the game plan. Now, the other thing is with this, Ulbrich, we talked about when Raheem Morris took over for Dan Quinn. At the time, back in 2020, it was kind of maybe overstepping. He fired the special teams coordinator, who was terrible. Remember, that was the Army helicopter pilot.
Yeah,
who was
Ben,
better at,
Ben something.
Yeah, he was much better at that than he was calling special teams. That was a Dan Quinn guy. But he didn't move on from Dirk Cutter. And you and I at the time were saying, man, I wonder if Raheem's going to fire Dirk Cutter too. Could you have pulled this move off? I wonder. But it's just something that we had talked about. I'm just taking you back to 2020 when Raheem was the interim coach. Ulbrich trying to earn a job here, and he says, I can't win with this guy. He's just being politically correct in the answer.
I agree. And by the way, if the Jets do win that division, which is still very possible, Aaron's got to turn things around. But, Mike, if they go to the playoffs, he will get a legitimate look to be the next head coach. It will be cheaper to keep Jeff Ulbrich than it will be, Mike, to bring in a Bill Belichick or anybody, Vrabel, any of these other guys, unless you just want to bring in a name. But we will, you know, if he's got to take him to the playoffs to get an opportunity to get that job.
No, I just think that if you're Aaron, I heard a great take from you work with Jason Lock on Four on the podcast with Baldy. Lock on Four was on the Steakhouse, and he was saying, look, you know, Tom Brady, his entire career was dedicated to, you know, beating Father Time and being dedicated. He would go and break rules by, hey, let's go have an illegal meeting during COVID to get the wide receivers and running backs all on the same page down in the Bucks, trying to maximize it. Aaron Rodgers, meanwhile, is taking off minicamp to go to Egypt.
He's not committed.
He's not.
He wasn't committed.
I thought it was an interesting take from Jason.
404-726-0929. It is our headline segment, guys, brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Hey, as we look to college football, obviously we're watching the Dogs, Mike. Do you expect them to cover the 34 this weekend, by the way?
No, Kirby never covers those big numbers, and it's still an SEC opponent. Granted, their quarterback situation is kind of, well...
They're 0-2 in the SEC, 1-4 on the season.
Not ideal. I would think that, I would think that Georgia, not that Bobo listens or anybody out there does, but they want to maybe commit to the run game. Let's have ETN go over 120 yards. Let's get,
be nice.
Or some of its parts.
Yeah.
But let's get that run game on track before you play the Longhorns. So you can go into Texas and run it down their throat. I mean, that would be my game plan. And then set up play action with Beck. But to me, ETN, and he had a great week last week, 2 touchdowns, 80 some odd yards. Do more of that.
Yeah. I don't think you want to get in a shootout with Texas. I agree with that.
But a run game means less points.
Yes.
But unless you're going to, he's going to break a 90-yard run.
Yeah, he breaks a big couple of, explosive plays. Meanwhile, Florida-Tennessee, is that going to be a blowout? Tennessee at home against Florida?
Man, Smartin after that loss to Sam Pittman and the Razorbacks. This was the game all those years. Remember, you can't spell citrus without UT. all those years Spurrier owned the great pumpkin, Philip Fulmer. I got to figure that Tennessee will take care of business.
And by the way, Alabama, they'll look to bounce back at home against South Carolina, and I think they will. But by the way, I mean, Alabama's only favored by 21. I'm kind of surprised about that. After losing to Vandy, I would have thought that number at home would be bigger. But give South Carolina credit. I mean, a lot of people are looking at that team and saying, I don't think they'll beat Alabama at home, but they'll certainly make it competitive.
Look, their defense, by the way, let's see here, points per game, 55th. Yards per game. Yeah, it's still not the defense, I think, that Shane Beamer wants or what he's really looking for. But red zone scoring, yeah, if Bama gets in the red zone, they're going to score a lot of points. South Carolina's, I don't think, is there yet.
I don't either. All right, guys, we got plenty more to dive into. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. Mark Weiser is going to join us as well. He's with the Athens Banner-Herald, covers the Dogs. We'll talk about not only this game, but the Kobe Young situation. Kirby calling out the crowd. What's the crowd going to look like?
Well, I'll be doing my part, Carl. I can tell you this, and I'll be in the shade. My butt will not be sweating gravy over there on the visitor's side. So I'm thinking maybe long pants might be the play in the shade.
Yeah.
It starts at 4:30 or 4:15.
4:15, yeah.
But will fans respond? We'll see. But Kirby, kind of stirring the pot last week.
I'll say this, and we'll talk to Mark Weiser about this. I do think it's a little bit unfair. All around the SEC, when you play lesser opponents, fans don't show up as much as they would for a bigger game. It's just what it is, guys. And to say, hey, we need you. Mike, I don't know. I feel like that goes on all around the league.
Well, I mean, it was kind of a lackluster game. It didn't have a rhythm to it.
No.
And you were disappointed coming off the loss to Bama.
And some people say, well, it's still Auburn. You got to show up.
But it's just not. It hasn't been the same since 2020, since they moved it up from November. And Auburn, look, it's not Georgia's fault that Auburn hasn't carried their end of the bargain.
All right, guys, this hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. It's Dukes and Bell.